There we go. We good. Whoa. Hold on a second. Be right back at you. Bear with me a second. Okay, we're good. Okay, it's going to be a little messy for the first part of that recording, but that's okay, I guess. We're just getting started now. We only have a handful of people here. That's okay, too. It's starting to increase, so I got it now. I forgot to set the recording date on this one, so I got it back started again. So that ought to work here. All right, we're good. All right, anyway. So we're locked in now, and I'm recording it. So y'all can listen to it later, if you have to leave early or whatever. I don't know. I've been doing this now for a long time, and now I'm doing it for longer time. I'm getting words now that the RV for Racky Dinar is going to happen. All this stuff, man, it just comes and goes. But through it all, just like the song says, there's going to be a period of peace. Prosperity, don't be fooled. There's worse to come. That's not negative. It's positive because that means we're closer to the coming of Jesus Christ and to get this thing over with. Don't let people put you in fear. I don't have a gun. I don't have ammunition. I don't have food in the pantry. I don't have money. I don't have gold in my basement. What are we going to do? We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We're going to whatever. Family, is going to come a time when you're really going to have to depend on God. There's no way around it, really. It's impossible to avoid. How many people, the most people ever, are starting to leave the United States, renounce their citizenship? What good is that going to do anyway? It doesn't do a bit of good. You all know it to be a worldwide conspiracy. I've been explaining this for years now. Trying to get people up to date on what's going on. It's worldwide, man. There's nowhere you can go. People, we're going. Where are you going? We're going to the Ozarks. For what? Okay, it'll last a little longer, maybe. But it's a worldwide conspiracy. You know, they got all kinds of things planned. They've had since Nimrod to plan this. You got that? The way they circumvent and cut down on the amount of time is that they cause the nation, the world, the individuals, whatever Satan's target is, to start sinning. This is what does it. And when you start sinning, you're falling away. God steps back, which... And this is with a nation. When a nation abides by the laws, even though it's ran by Luciferians, which all of them have secret society members and all that. When you start changing the laws to support the agenda of the Illuminati, now you're asking for trouble. You're turning away completely from God. God will bring judgment on that nation. Why do you think we have 14 plus states and just going hard as they can to legalize gay marriage? Gay marriage is obviously against the Bible. So is adultery. So is lying, cheating, stealing, and all that. But they're going to focus on what they can control with agendas long term. I explained that this afternoon. You can get the broadcast this afternoon. But it's happening now. Look, you think all of a sudden in the past 6 months or 3 months, whatever it's been, all of a sudden, all these states are now jumping on the bandwagon to legalize gay marriage. All of a sudden, boom, just like that. How about that? It's going down, family. It's going down. It's happening. Going down, I don't mean it's failing. Only Jesus Christ will cause it to fail. No human being, no republic establishment, no white hats or any of that stuff is going to do it. Not going to happen. The brief period of prosperity, you may have two. One for the fake white hat prosperity in America, the RV of the ragged dinar or something, revalue the funds, and, oh, we've defeated the Illuminati and the rest this and the rest that, and we've got Bush on the run, we've got the Pope and I don't know, whatever else. Then they got to have a fake Armageddon. Then here comes the Ascended Master, somewhere in there. Whatever it is, I just sit back and say, yeah, okay, well, I'm waiting for discovery, disclosure of the fallen angels that come in as aliens and the fake Jesus is coming, Yeshua. Now I know we're in the first seal. Until then, it's just a lot of frivolous baloney, bombs going off and people dying and whatever, but it's still not it yet. When that falling away and the man of sin is revealed, oh, now we're in it. Now we're there. And see, the Bible is written in such a way that mankind, Satan, and nobody else can actually predict any date and time. You ever notice that? Nobody can do it. Everybody's an expert. Well, they try to be. And someone asked me on the chat here, did I record the 3 to 5 broadcasts from today? Yes, I did. And they're all up on my website. Go to my website, WatchmanChronicles.com. WatchmanChronicles, one word, .com. And look for the broadcast archives. Go down further, you'll find the Revelation Radio Archives. I've put that in there, too, as a link. You should be able to click it and get it. Click it and get it. Not click it and get a ticket, but click it, no ticket. Click it and get it at my website. I also want to advise you all, let you know that my sponsor is Lisa K. Candles. They have a nice array of fragrances for the autumn. Odor eliminators that hang in the air and stay there with you. And emergency candles for when the lights go out in Georgia. When the lights go out, these candles last an enormously long time. So contact Lisa Kay. And you can get that at LisaKayCandles.com. One word, LisaKayCandles.com. And the number is 731-441-3293. And these candles are special. They're slow, long burn. Retains the scents of all kinds of different scents. It allows for cotton wicks versus lead. Gives you a larger, brighter flame. Healthy breathing. Easy cleaning. Warm soap and water, and your soy candle has a memory. When lighting for the first time, allow for 3-4 hours burn time. They're good. Extinguish, clip the wick, relight, repeat, and enjoy. They work. We are also played, specifically our Bible studies, highportradio.net, highportradio.net, up in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. They have sponsors, and sponsors support them. Support the sponsors up there in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. HighPointRadio.net plays our broadcast and our Bible studies. For those that don't know, I have a nationwide Bible study. I do it on the air like I'm doing right now, if you're listening. It's recorded. You can play it, send it out, do whatever for your distribution list. And I know that on Yahoo, for example, you can only send out files that downloads 25 megabytes or less, but you don't have to do that if you send the link. So I got a link, you just copy paste the link to your message and boom, there you go. Whoop, there it is. Whoop, here we go. So now I want to dedicate the broadcast here And we're going to get started on the Bible study. And you know that I, honestly, I didn't put the Bible study together till, I don't know, now about 40 minutes ago, maybe 30. I said, Lord, I need some help here. You know, because I just finished with the broadcast for 2.5 hours this afternoon from 3 to 5. I covered a lot of ground to explain about how they're going to have your children and old people going to be killed. I mean, you know, the Obamacare with the microchips and euthanasia of children under 12 can decide to be killed. That's pretty much it, by suicide. With the suicide rates going on today, how much damage can that do when they change? And that's what it's for. It's what's going on. And I'll talk about that in my last Bible study and how it goes all the way back. And you can pull it down if you want to. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours and a half long. I covered a lot of ground, but I won't talk about it now. Lord, we come to you tonight in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for tonight's Bible study. We can pray together, study together, share together your holy word. We thank you, Father, for our families. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your son that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, hear our prayer. We confess our sins before you, as we know, Father, by repentance and confession of our faith and our sins, and taking your son as our Savior. Father, we become born again. Father, we thank you that he died on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life. And then, Father, we await his return. We pray for his return soon. Father, we thank you for the King James Bible, the true word of God, that gives us that knowledge and wisdom, discernment. And Father, we're blessed when we read it. Father, we call upon you to give us the courage and wisdom, discernment, humility, the meekness required, Lord, that we'll fulfill your will. And give us the patience, Lord, to deal with those that go against us, and Father, that keep us humble, that we don't think we know all. And Father, you'll keep us humble. That you know, we know you live inside of us. In order, you can't get much closer than that. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray, Lord, tonight for Care Bear's daughter's ex-boyfriend. Lord, we pray for him. That, Lord, we find out what happens, what's going on with him, that Lord, he'll be protected by the blood of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that he'll find divine appointment. He'll somehow find someone to save him, to help him, to direct him in the right place. And to pray and cover him in the blood of Jesus, Lord, that he'll somehow come to know you, Lord. We'll lift him up to you. And Father, we also lift others up, Kevin and David, and many others, Lord, that I can't remember right now, that, Lord, we've lifted up before for the healing, protection, that, Father, you protect them and heal them, and thy will be done. And that's, Father, why we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, sometimes I wonder about what direction to take on these Bible studies, and I know that, you know, I'm not a theologian. I never went to a school of theology. Never did. I make up for it by doing an inordinate amount of research. I keep focused every day, as many hours as I can. And sometimes I wonder why. Because It's out of the norm. I mean, I put an enormous amount of work in this. And I'm driven to do it, even on my own, whether I had a broadcast or not. It seems I've got this, it seems in my life. I mean, I'm sure y'all have yours as well. I'm not, y'all got your days. You got your own agendas, and not agendas, but your own plans and wonders and so forth, and questions and all that. If I don't talk about mine, I'll have dead time on the air. But it's not my lifestyle normally. And all of a sudden, I have this drive to push it as far as I can. And I have the energy to do it. And for me, that's, I don't know. I just feel like something's coming, you know. That things are going to change. Good and bad. The wages of sin is death. Now, why does the sacrificial system require blood sacrifice? Why couldn't it be just, I don't know, 10 days in the hole, or restriction for a certain period of time, or something, I don't know. Not getting some rewards. Why does a blood sacrifice? Well, if you go to the whole of the Old Testament, every book points toward the great sacrifice that was to come. 365 prophecies of the Messiah coming. Of the Antichrist, it's 46 prophecies for the real Antichrist, the last one. But for Jesus Christ, it's 365 prophecies. Some have not been fulfilled because yet it's, we're not in the end times yet. We're close. Even I'll say that. I'm very skeptical of these Red Rivers in Netherlands as a part of the end times events. That's impossible. It's no way possible. How grown men, theologians that spend the schools of theology, that are preacher ministers, can actually say these things, that some Red River in Netherlands or some Red River in some Pakistan or whatever, well, it may be algae or it may be iron rust, but we got Red Rivers. Has anybody tested it for blood yet? No. And one Red River is not some kind of prophecy coming true. How these people can say this is beyond my mind. I cannot even comprehend it. How they could be that dumb or that deceptive. I just don't see it. Or they're that deceived. That's three. I just don't understand it. And yet they stand by it. Arnold Murray's, Herbert Armstrong's, all these people. Preterists and Calvinists, Christian identities, other religions don't care either way. Anyway, they don't believe it. So it's all just a mixed bag. Every book of the Old Testament points toward the great sacrifice that was to come. And that's of Jesus' sacrifice, excuse me, the sacrifice Jesus was going to give, giving of his own life on our behalf. Leviticus. Leviticus 17:11. Old Testament. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. What's the flesh? It's of the world. When you are eternal, you have no need for blood. You're not going to bleed in heaven. Adam and Eve would not bleed before they committed sin. Blood is to nourish the cells. Why does the blood need to nourish the cells if the cells are eternal? It doesn't. When you eat, you're not eating in heaven at the great throne, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're not eating to sustain your life because you're eternal. You ever think about this? Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Some people just say that as just part of the teaching, but think about it for a minute. You're going to sit at a great supper. Who cooks it? You're going to sit at a great supper. If you're not going to die, why are you worried about eating? You're eternal, right? So why worry about eating? You're not hungry. You see how the flesh and the world keeps us down? You see why it's a step down, no pun intended, for an angel to become physical? You know there's an angel, one angel. Now this is something for Harry Potter to put in his book. Matter of fact, if they put it in a book, they put it in a one of these movies of, you know, adventure movies, one warrior angel slays, kills 185,000 warriors. One. That's not even something that Hollywood would print. They wouldn't do that because it wouldn't be realistic, would it? No. But it happened. First Judges. It sure did. That's not hyperbole. It's not some symbol. It was one angel. Angel of the Lord. Full-grown warriors. You'll find it in Isaiah 37:36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Wow. That was real. If you go to Isaiah 37, in context, says in 37:32, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they will escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. They escaped, by the way. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the name shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servants David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Abraham-Melech and Shemazar, his son, smote him with a sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. God had them turn against each other. You see how it works? Did they have to get any ammo? Arrows? They had faith. That takes faith. People aren't talking about it today. It seems to be old-fashioned. Go to church. As I said before, you go to church nowadays, and everybody just sits there, man. They get blisters on their butt. They just sit there. Only time they move sometimes is to get up and sing, maybe, and sit back down. Then reach their back pocket. Oh, right back there, and pull out the money. Give me the money, give me the money, give me the money. Oh, yeah, 10%, 10%. And that's a lie, too, by the way. The Sabbath is a lie, too. Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy, fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. The old law was the Sabbath and 10% tithing and tongues. I've got proof of that. These preachers and teachers and pastors and whatever, they're off the wall here. And this is with Scripture, too, irrefutably. I wouldn't say that before. I can say it now because I see it clearly. Scriptures are available. The study I've done, I've already talked about it on the air. That's old law given to the Jews back in the Old Testament. 10% tithing, Sabbath, and tongues. That was after the Pentecost, but that was needed then to speak with an interpreter, speak in someone else's tongue. Today it's just babbling, and it is in fact satanic. It's linked up to holy laughter, holy drunkenness, kundalini spirit. This is huge, man. This is almost every church. And those in other churches do the other thing. They just sit there. And the preacher's saying something good, and everybody's just all happy and pleasing, and everybody's sinning now. They're sinning in there. They sinned before they got there, and they're thinking of something else. Well, God knows what you're thinking. No, God knows what you did. But as long as I'm sitting there getting my attendance roster, I'm okay. And so when the preacher says something good, everybody just nods their head like a dipping duck, you know. Yep, yep, you're right. Yep, yep, great. Everybody nodding the head? Yep, everybody nodding the head. Okay, I'm going to nod my head too. Up, here comes the plate. Reach in your back pocket. Left hand or right hand. Depends which one hurts the worst. Reach back. Put the money in the plate. Look, everybody, I put money in the plate. There you go. See what I did? Raise your hand up, down, right down. There you go. All right, I did my thing. God, you see what I did? Okay, great. Now I'm going to find me a little old lady and help her cross the road, and I've done my good deed for the day. That don't matter worth a lick if you haven't repented of your sin. And so many that say the sinner's prayer are going to hell because they have not repented. They don't really mean it in their heart. But you know when they mean it. And you don't need to be in church either. You need to do it on the side of the road. You can give your life to Christ. You can do it at your home. You can give your life to Christ. You can do it with your family, you can say, and you do it right there with them. Don't be ashamed. With your wife or your husband, with a friend, you're going to cry. Because the Holy Spirit touches you, He's going to get you. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't think you're saved because you did all those things I just talked about. They don't get you saved. You got to take the step. Jesus Christ came to us first. We can't come back to life. We can't bring ourselves. They're trying awful hard, though, aren't they? Fallen angels knew about regenerating DNA. They couldn't do it back in the days of Pharaoh. Their manifestation after the flood took less time because they only had so much power generated by death and sacrifice of infants. Now you see what that's for. The sacrifice of infants, of human life, forest fires, any way to sacrifice life, gives power to that demon invoked, to that fallen angel. If enough power is generated, that fallen angel or demon can either manifest in physical or possess an individual to talk with them, speak. They can speak out of animals. Animals can talk. Oh, gosh, I hate saying that, but I got to tell you. In the Bible, it talks about it. The demons are little specks of light. That's all demons are. Fallen angels are avatars and so forth. I don't talk about this too much. I've already talked about it many times. But they can inhabit an animal. Today's newspaper. Winston-Salem Journal, November the 6th, Local woman is mauled to death by two pit bulls. Family, this Forsyth woman was killed Monday night. That was Monday night. Two pit bulls mauled her in her home 4 miles northeast of Kernersville here. She was 25 years old, died at the scene. She died at the scene. These dogs tore her up. The dogs attacked her around 6:30 p.m. as she was feeding them. He declined to discuss the wounds. They were horrible, though. She'd been around the dogs since they were puppies. There was no history of any aggression at all with the dogs. That's the point. She fed the dogs regularly. They immediately euthanized the dogs, and they were taken to find out what caused them. Family will tell you what caused them. See, there are certain animals that can be possessed and certain ones that's not. In a certain high possession, witchcraft, these animals can talk. It's not the animal that talks, though. It's not the animal. It's the body is provided for the demon. The demon's the one talking, using the animal as a host. Balaam's donkey, an example. But that was not a demon. The serpent can talk. The wages of sin are death. God's serious about sin. We can't come back to life. You go to heaven or you go to hell when you die. We can't ascend to heaven. Enoch never ascended. Enoch was taken. Only Jesus Christ can ascend. He's the Son of God, only begotten Son of the living God. He was God incarnate in human flesh. He could do what he wants to do. So why did God set up a sacrificial system requiring a blood sacrifice? If, like the Calvinists and Preterists and all these others believe that Jesus Christ died once for all of us, therefore nothing more needed from me. I can do what I want to do. That's what the Masons believe. One time saved, that's it. Those that believe, Masons believe in reincarnation. All these things of good works will get you in heaven. So that means Jesus Christ never had to die in the first place. I can never get an answer for that one. I believe in reincarnation. Oh, you do you? But I believe in God too. Uh-huh. So you believe that Jesus really died on the cross? Well, yeah. Okay. You've been seeing Oprah lately? Or Osteen? So you're telling me that reincarnation is real. You believe in God. You believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. Yeah. I heard this recently. I said, well, why would Jesus have to die on the cross if you have to keep coming back over and over? Or are you going to get it right? Why would Jesus have to die on the cross for your sins if by your reincarnation you can still become saved or something? Whatever you all call it. Comment went kind of blah, blah, blah. It just kind of dissipated. No answer. These preachers, man, he's going to hammer them. Why did God establish a sacrificial system requiring a blood sacrifice? That's heavy. Knowing very well that mankind cannot come back to life. But then again, all the Old Testament was 365 prophecies of a coming Messiah who would be the Lamb of God. Aha. God speaking to Moses declares, for the life of the creatures in the blood, for I've given you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. A sacrifice is pretty much defined as an offering up of something precious for a cause or a reason. Making atonement is also satisfying someone or something for an offense committed. Okay, so that Leviticus verse, you can read a little more clearer. You might say then, I've given to you, it to you, the creature's life, which is in its blood, to make atonement for yourselves, covering the offense you've committed against me. So in other words, those who are covered by the blood sacrifice, the blood atonement, are set free from the consequences of sin. Now, in that point in time, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they didn't know of Jesus, per se. They knew the Messiah was coming. Matter of fact, they did the same thing when the Vatican created Islam in the 6th century. That's correct. They had to set it up in the same way. So when the Vatican created the religion from nothing, the Vatican created Islam as a religion. And they'd already had, on the supernatural level, oh yeah, discovered Muhammad the prophet. That's a whole new story. I'm not going there tonight. I could do that, but I'm not tonight. And raised him from 6 years old. But before that, when the Vatican, the church then, after 325 AD to the 6th century, 300 years, after the 6th century, when Islam was created, Roman Catholic Arabs, descendants of Ishmael, started going to the different camps, to those that rejected Roman Catholicism then, to tell them, but you have a Savior coming. You have a Messiah coming to you. Oh, do we? Yeah, you do. That was the anticipation of Muhammad the prophet to be the Messiah. They did the same thing. Satan's a copier. Well, Jesus Christ came, but so the Israelites did not know of Jesus per se, but he would, or how he'd die on their behalf and then rise again. But they did believe God would be sending them a Savior in the same way the Arabs, the descendants of Ishmael, believed the Savior was coming from them. But all the many, many, many blood sacrifices seen throughout the Old Testament were a foreshadowing for the true and once for all sacrifice to come. So the Israelites would never forget that. Without the blood, there would be no forgiveness. And that was drilled in their heads through the Passover, the lamb, and all that. That's all matched up. And how did Satan mock God? He mocked God by sacrificing children, Mayans, those murderers, and Egyptians, and Baal, and today, Bohemian Grove, your legislators, and your presidents, and your world leaders sacrifice children at these festivals. We sacrifice all these. Still going on today. Abortion is sacrificed to Lucifer. That's what it's for in the first place. World Trade Center. All this is sacrificed to Lucifer for him to gain power to open up those portals to come into this world. You see? That's heavy. So, the shedding of blood is a substitution, kind of a substitutionary act. Therefore, the last clause of the Leviticus 17:11 could be read either the blood makes atonement, and this at the cost of the life, the animal's life, or makes atonement in the place of the life, the sinner's life with Christ. And that being the one giving life through his shed blood. If you go to Hebrews, for example, Hebrews 9:11-18. But Christ being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered at once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's powerful. Hebrews 9:16. For whereas the testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Now that's, Hebrews 9:11-18. That in itself, you could do a whole Bible study just on that verse, those verses. But this confirms pretty much the symbolism of blood as life and applies to Leviticus 17:11. And this is to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to verse 12, it clearly states that the Old Testament blood sacrifices were temporary, only atoned for sin partially and for a short time. Hence the need for repeating the sacrifices every year. But you see, when Christ entered the most holy place, he did so was to offer his own blood once and for all time. And what this did was it made all the future sacrifices unnecessary. He didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled the law. Tithing. Now, it doesn't mean you don't tithe. But tithing just isn't 10% going to the church. Tithing is the Holy Spirit putting on your heart to do whatever you're going to do. He's going to tell you, give to that person there, or give 5% to church, or 20% there, whatever. It's up to you and the Holy Spirit. The Sabbath is the old law. I've explained that before in my broadcasts. I've even got a breakdown of it on the website if you want to go to see it, Bible study about the Sabbath. Jesus Christ fulfilled that law. And so, he offered his own blood once and for all time. And that's what Jesus meant by his dying words on the cross at that time. It is finished. That's what that means. 19:30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So, at that point, that's John 19:30, I think I said. At that point, then, never again would the blood of bulls and goats cleanse men from their sin. Only by accepting Jesus' blood, shed on the cross for remission of sins, can you stand before God covered in the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So now you see why when the Antichrist marches into the holy city at mid-tribulation, as I was explaining this past week, and commits the abomination of desolation, marches in the holy place and makes them stop sacrifice of animals. What do you mean? I thought they were doing with it. They stopped it. They did. But they are allowed to begin it again in the first seal. Now you see why God is going to take out Israel and restore it with the real Israelites. Not the fake ones he got there now, the synagogue of Satan. When they begin the sacrifice of animals in the new temple, which will be rebuilt for the third time, then they'll start their blood sacrifices. That's a slap in Jesus' face. That's not good. That's bad. And that will begin the first trumpet. That's when the abomination of desolation occurs. He tells the ones in Judea flee to the mountains. Doesn't have anything to do with Europe and America, for goodness sakes alive. And that is the blood covenant. You know, I think I want to continue talking about that. Because when you talk about a blood covenant, that is, cover me in the blood of Jesus, that's very powerful. That's how you're protected against witchcraft. Protection. Against the supernatural. What if you had, and this is why it's a mockery when they sacrifice animals at witch and witchcraft, the blood sacrifices we have in these holidays is coming up during the month of November. A lot of them. I got a list of them here. 1 to the 6th of November, a lot of people have died the past 6 days. A lot of children have died the past 6 days. I don't pray for the return of the United States and the Republic. Nobody's doing anything about the children. Nobody's doing anything about the political issues at all. They're not planning on it. But nobody's stopping the secret societies from killing children. What's going on? They get on a political agenda and say protect this and save that and elect this one, elect that one, and this one's better, and White Hat's this, that, and the other. And nobody's talking about the children being murdered by our very own government and the European and the Luciferians sacrifices, mocking God with these bloody sacrifices. You can't imagine what goes on. I'm not even going to talk about it. I could describe it, but I don't want to. Nobody's talking about that. I'll pray for Jesus to come back. If he wants to keep the United States, fine. That's his business. I'll pray for his return. That's it, man. That's all. And the healing and spreading the gospel. That's it. But modern day observers seeing 5 bloody animal carcasses on the ground, 3 of them split in half, with a half separated a short distance from each other, put in Abraham's time, but in Abraham's time it would not have been so menacing. The arrangement of divided animal carcasses would have been instantly recognized as set up for making a blood of, kind of a blood covenant. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 20, all go into one place, all are the dust, all turn to dust again. Ecclesiastes 3, 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Oof. When God called Abraham out of the hometown and away from all things familiar, Abraham became the first Jew with his blood covenant. He gave Abraham promises at that point. A covenant is kind of a promise, as I said before, kind of a contract, a binding agreement between two parties. And if you go to Genesis chapter 15, it kind of reiterates the covenant with God that made with Abraham at his calling. All those before Abraham, his offspring, fathers and so forth, all the way back, were not Jews. Only Abraham was given the blessing as a Jew. Abrahamic covenant. Look it up. Except this time, God graciously reassured his promise with a visual of his presence. He asked Abraham to find and kill a heifer, a ram, a goat, a dove, and a pigeon. Then Abraham was to cut them in half, except for the birds, and lay the pieces in two rows. Leaves a path through the center. You find it in Genesis 15, verses 9 to 10. It's right there. So if you go to ancient Near Eastern royal land type treaties, this type of ritual was done to seal the promises they made through the blood covenant. So pretty much God was confirming that there's three promises he made to Abraham. First was the promise of heirs, which he also promised Ishmael, by the way, of land and the blessings. Find in Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him dishonors you or curse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, there you go. So a blood covenant communicated kind of a self-maledictory oath of some sort. And so the parties involved would walk the path between the slaughtered animals to say, and may this be done to me if I do not keep my oath. Aha! How about a blood oath there? Is that not the masons mocking God's oath? May this be done to me if I do not keep my oath. Now you know. Let that sink in just a tad bit. Now you know when they say cut themselves in half, tear your every tongue torn out by the root, and the blood oaths of the Freemasons to not give up any secrets. That's where they get it from. In Jeremiah 34, 18, 19, and the man who transgressed my covenant, wait, was it Jeremiah 34, 18, 19? And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they have made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and pass between the parts thereof. The princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land which pass between the parts of the calf. There it is. But there's an important difference in the blood oath that God made with Abraham in Genesis 15. Because when the evening came up, God appeared in the form of a smoking fire pot and flaming torch that passed between the pieces. Can you imagine this? Genesis 15, 17. And the sun gone down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking fire pot and flaming torch passed between these pieces. That's tricky. Abraham went to a deep sleep. A thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Verse 12. Thus God passed through the pieces of the dead animals, and the covenant was sealed by God alone. And nothing depended on Abraham. Everything depended on God, who promised to be faithful in his covenant. God did it. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there is no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Go to Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, be swear by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to make them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Immutability of his counsel confirmed it by oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay upon hold upon the hope set before us, the hope of the coming Messiah. Abraham then and his descendants could count on and believe everything that God said. So, that specific blood covenant, is known as the Abrahamic covenant. And the blood involved in this covenant, as with any blood covenant, that signifies the life from which the blood comes from. Now, this other covenant called Mosaic covenant was also a blood covenant that required blood to be sprinkled on the tabernacle, the scroll, and all the people. Hebrews 9:19-21. Talks about sprinkling the blood. And in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22. So in the Mosaic covenant, this blood of the animals served as a covering or atonement of sort, and it was for the sins of the people. So the animal's life was given in place of the sinner's life in preparation for the coming Messiah. Abrahamic covenant, God in essence was declaring he would give his life if his promises were broken. That set it all up. There could be no greater encouragement to believers then. Since God's eternal, can no more break an oath than he could die. For out of Abraham came Isaac, came Jacob, and that's when God assigned the 12 sons, 12 tribes, to go out and start spreading the gospel. But you know and I know they failed. The tribe of Dan was kicked out. So the story goes. So all these things were only copies or shadows of the better covenant to come. That's Hebrews 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So the lives of animals could never remove sin. But the life of the animal is not sufficient substitute for human life. Hebrews 10:4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But in the King James it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. The blood of bulls and goats were temporary appeasement until the final and the ultimate blood covenant was made by Jesus Christ himself. Not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So you go to Hebrews 9:24-28. For Christ has not entered in the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment. Wait a minute. What happened to reincarnation? Well, what happened with me becoming a god? I thought I was supposed to become a god, as Copeland and Joyce Myers and all these say. Aren't I supposed to become a god? I mean, Mormons think I am, and Jehovah's Witnesses think I am. What's going on here? I guess I'm not going to be a god after all. Shucks. After you die comes a judgment. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered then to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So then you go to Luke 22:20. You see how it all comes out. It's amazing to me how all these verses of people who never met each other almost say the same thing. You ever notice that? People read the Bible and say, now prove it to me. If they really knew how this Bible really operates, how it really functions, how you can find things out. It's amazing. So, in Luke 22:20, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So, the shadows here become the realities in Christ, who fulfilled, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the Old Testament blood covenants with his own blood. So you Christians out there, you see, not Christianity, but Christians, can be confident and know that the gift of eternal life that God gives through Jesus is a true promise to the people of faith. Apostle Paul explains it. The covenant was established with Abraham, his seed, in singular. Paul interprets this as a singular person of Christ. Galatians 3:15-16. It says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and his two seeds, and of many, but as one of one, and thy seed, which is Christ. So, therefore, all who are in Christ are spiritual heirs to the promises made to Abraham also. Still stands. Christian identity, other of these sects, SECTS, groups of Christianity, they believe the Jews are cut off now completely. It's not true. We're all grafted in now as Gentiles. The covenant was originally for Abraham's physical descendants, but was later extended spiritually to all those who Abraham believe God. Galatians 3:7. Man, it slam dunks it right there. Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Genesis 15:6, going back to the Old Testament. Amazing, it all works together, you know. In Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, he counted it to him all for righteousness. So God's promise of eternal blessing is given only on the basis of faith in the living, saving blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. It tells you right there in Hebrews 9:12. tells you, Hebrews 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered into once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's why blood atonement. That's why when the Antichrist marches into the temple, after they've started blood sacrifices, he demands they stop blood sacrifices and worship him. And boy, that's going to bring on the first trumpet. It's going to be some kind of introduction. Well, family, tonight, Wednesday. What is Wednesday tonight? Tonight's the 6th of November. I normally don't bring this up, but right now what I'm doing, and my sponsor's been talking about it here, is we are, at least here in Mount Airy, I am getting ready to go FM. And I've got the permission to do it, per se. And so we're looking for donations of anyone that wants to donate to Lisa K. Candles or to Lisa K. They're collecting so we can put up the funds to start an FM station here in Mount Airy. I'll be able to extend it out to probably around 20, 30 miles. So my sponsor's talking about it, and I should talk about it. That would be the prudent thing for me to do. I will mention to you that this month they have a special 16-ounce size of hot apple cider, $6.50 each, $6.50 each, and let's see, it keeps moving around. And we're doing this this week and this month. And so call up Lisa K. Candles or look, check their website out, lisakcandles.com. And see what you want to do there, especially during the Christmas season. I don't celebrate Christmas, I have to tell you that. I don't do it anymore. So y'all do what you feel like you got to do. And we're trying to acquire this equipment to set up an FM station, antenna and all that sort of thing. And if you call Mark up or Lisa, they'll be able to work you something out or just donate to the Watchman Chronicles. We'll see what happens. Okay, so... Well, actually, that would lead me then, as I see it's going to do, to the very elect of, who is the elect of God. And we'll do the Antichrist last if we get to it. Who are the elect of God? Now, I've talked about the 144,000. But who are the elect of God? I bet that's a question everybody's asking. Everybody thinks, I want to be the elect. Dad saying bass, mama saying tenor. I want to sit in the shotgun seat. It's me. It's me. No, it's me. No, I am. Oh, okay. Simply put, the elect of God are those whom God has predestined to salvation. That should raise some eyebrows. They're called the elect because the world denotes the concept of choosing. So every 4 years, for example, in the United States, I'd like to tell you that we elect a president, but we don't. The facade is we elect him. He's actually appointed, not to go there tonight. Oh, yeah, you don't elect anybody. Yes, I've explained that before. But let's say, hypothetically, you actually elect a president of the United States. That'd be hypothetical for sure, because he's never elected or appointed. People don't realize that. The elections count zero. But in any case, that's another story. The elect of God are those who God's predestined to salvation. Now, they're called the elect for the choosing. Well, now we choose who will serve in the office of, say, senators and so forth, or so on, or mayor, whatever. The same goes for God, who will, for those who will be saved. God chooses those who will be saved. They're the elect of God. Let me explain this. So as it stands, the concept of God electing those who will be saved isn't controversial. What's controversial is how and what manner God chooses those who will be saved. It does get sticky trying to explain this, but if you go throughout church history, there have been two main views of the doctrine of election or predestination. Now, I'm sort of stepping out on a limb tonight discussing this because it is kind of complicated, a little bit. It sure raises eyebrows and ears. You got one view, which we'll call the precedent or foreknowledge of view, that teaches that God, through his omnipotence, he knows those who will be in the course of time choose of their own free will to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and this for the salvation. And on the basis of foreknowledge, God will elect those individuals before the foundations of the earth. Well, Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So on the basis of this divine foreknowledge, God elects those individuals. And this view is helped by a majority of these American evangelicals. That's the first view of it. Now, the second main view, this concept of elect, is the Augustinian view. Augustinian. It teaches that God not only divinely elects those who have faith in Jesus Christ, but it also means that he divinely elects to grant to these individuals the faith to believe in Christ. So in other words, simply put, God's election into salvation is not based on foreknowledge of an individual's faith, but it's based on the free, sovereign grace of Almighty God. And God elects people in salvation. In time, these people will come to faith in Christ because God has elected them. Now, this difference kind of boils down to this, really. Who has the ultimate choice of salvation? God or man? So, if we go back to the first view, the prescient view, P-R-E-S-C-I-E-N-T, man has control. His free will is sovereign. He becomes the factor in God's election. And you see, God can provide the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. But man must choose Jesus Christ for himself in order to make salvation real. In other words, I got to make the choice. So, pretty much, this view makes God powerless and robs him of his sovereignty in a way, don't it? This view puts the Creator at the mercy of the creature. If God wants people in heaven, he's got the hope that man will freely choose him in his way of salvation. So in reality, the prescient view of election is no view of election at all, because God's not willing, really choosing it. He's only confirming. So it's man who's the ultimate chooser in this. However, in the Augustinian view, God has control. He's the one of his own sovereignty, will, freely chooses those who he'll save. He not only elects those whom he'll save, but he actually accomplishes their salvation. Rather than making salvation possible, God chooses these whom he's going to save and then saves them. But that puts God in proper place as creator and sovereign. So the Augustinian view is not without its own problems, though. Critics have claimed that this view robs man of his free will. It gets sticky, don't it? You know, if God chooses those who's saved, then what difference does it make for man to believe? Why preach a gospel? Furthermore, if God elects according to his sovereign will, then how can we be responsible for our actions? These are reasonable questions. So a good passage to answer these questions you'll find is Romans 9. In Romans 9, if you flip there, it talks about it. And you also have to read Romans 8. That pretty much ends with a great climax of praise, for I'm convinced that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. So, this leads Paul to consider how a Jew might respond to that statement. So, it says, while Jesus came to the lost children of Israel, and while the early church was largely Jewish in makeup, the gospel was spreading among the Gentiles much faster than among the Jews. In fact, most Jews saw this gospel as a stumbling block. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, and rejected Jesus. So it would lead the average Jew to wonder if God's plan of election had failed, since most Jews reject the message of the gospel. They have their own. So if you go throughout Romans 9, very important chapter, Paul shows that God's sovereign election has been in force from the very beginning. He begins in Romans 9, 6, if you look at it. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And so, that pretty much means, when you look at it, that not all people of ethnic Israel, that is, those descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, belong to true Israel, the elect of God. Reviewing the history of Israel, when you go back, Paul will show you that God chose Isaac over Ishmael, did he not? And Jacob over Esau. So just in case anybody thinks that God was choosing these individuals based on faith or good works they would do in the future, he adds to it. Romans 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Wow. They is Jacob and Esau. Who's talking about? So at this point, you might be tempted to accuse God of acting unjustly, right? Say, why? But Paul anticipates this accusation in verse 14, stating plainly that God is not unjust in any way. For what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Romans 9:15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So God is sovereign over his creation. He controls it. And God is free to choose from those he will choose. He is free to pass by whom he will pass by. See, the creature has no right to accuse the creator of being unjust. The very thought of this, the creature can stand in judgment of the creator, is absurd to Paul. It should be so to every Christian. The balance of Romans 9 substantiates this point. So, therefore, as we've mentioned, there's other passages that talk to a lesser extent on the topic of God's elect, like John 6, 37 to 45. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 6, 37 to 45. And this is the Father will which hath sent me, that all of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews had murmured to him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it, then he saith, I came down from heaven. Jesus therefore answered and said to him, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And Ephesians 3:3-14. Ephesians 1:3-14. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According, he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one of all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, and even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom he also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and which is the earnest of our inheritance upon redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of his glory. Called talking about predestination. That's the name of a few of them. The point is that God has ordained to redeem a remnant of humanity to salvation. And these elect individuals were chosen before the creation of the world. And their salvation is complete in Christ. Paul says, quote, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified." So, how do you know if you're one of the elect? That's a question, isn't it? And you might want to ask yourself, very appropriately, Who are we? Who's following the true word of God that's contained in the King James Bible? And that is the only true word of God there is on the face of this planet, with evidence, too, that everybody seems to ignore, from Herbert Armstrong's group of people, Arnold Murray, Calvinists, Preterists, Worldwide Church of God, all these others. Family, get out of religion. It's no good. All religion. Freemasons, get out of there, man. Renounce that blood oath. Get out of there and bring peace back to your family. The blood oath separates you from God. First degree, to tear your tongue out from the root. You got to be kidding me. You're swearing allegiance to God to lie, is what it boils down to. 33rd degree to Masons and above, worship Lucifer. Lucifer is Satan. They are one the same. Isaiah 14:12, King James Bible. Luke 10:18, King James Bible. Confirm that Satan and Lucifer are the same. Lucifer is a bearer of light, the light bringer in Latin. Lucifer. Nothing to do with the morning star. That's a lie. Morning star is Satan. You know, even our stars and stripes is a cult flag. I got to be honest with you. It's a pentagram. Golly. And the Star of David, one of the most evil signs that there is on the face of this planet, is used by witchcraft to summon demons, literally, going back to the days of the Druids and Halloween, actually. The 6 points, the hexagram, the pentagram, it's all witchcraft. Even the Arab flags of the green color and the half moon and the star is Satan, sun, moon worship, and the single star is a morning star, Satan, Lucifer. Morning Star Ministries, Rick Joyner. He's a Knights of Malta. General Boykin. They're all traitors to this country. They are all the protectors of the Roman Catholic. Knights of Malta, they are. Wesley Clark. I'll name your names. It's what's going on. Rhodes Scholar. Right there, the slam dunk. Family, get away from people that think they're leaders and get with Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. America's not even in the Bible. We're not in there. It's impossible. They try to make it look like we're the eagle and all this other stuff. They massage it, maneuver it, and Calvinists and Preterists and all these others. If it's an ist or an ism, get out of it. Who are the elect? There's all kinds of ideas precisely what election means in regards to salvation. The fact that believers are elect is indisputable. Romans 8, 29 to 30, I've already talked to you about. And Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. Ephesians 1, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 1 to 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Simply put, the doctrine of election is that God chooses, determines, elects, predestines, whatever you want to call it, who's going to be saved. It's not within the scope of what I can talk about tonight to determine how election works, really. I've tried to cover it to a certain extent. It's a really touchy subject, too, by the way. Rather, the question at hand is, how can I know if I am one of the elect? Answer is simple. Believe. Trust in God. Become obedient, but believe in Him. The Bible nowhere instructs us to be concerned regarding our status of elect or non-elect or getting a shotgun seat. Rather, God calls us to believe, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And by grace through Him, John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, I've talked about these. If a person truly trusts in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, that person is one of the elect. You don't get it with wearing an apron or some kind of medallion or some kind of medal or, I don't know, gold stars from heaven. If you attend church every day or you rock 10 little old ladies across the street or something, I don't know. Good deeds get you nothing but hell. That's where you're heading. Good deeds don't get you there. Works don't get you there. Except in Jesus Christ as Savior, that gets you there. By grace through faith. Now, whether your belief secures election, or does election cause belief? That's debatable to touch it. But what sure is that belief is evidence of election. Nobody can receive Jesus as Savior unless God draws them near. John 6:44. No man could come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. There's your scripture. God calls or draws those whom he's predestined, elected. Romans 8:29-30. I've already covered those. Saving faith is not possible without divine election. Therefore, saving faith is evidence of election. So, this idea of a person waiting to be saved or wanting to be saved, but being unable to do so due to not being one of the elect is foreign to the Bible. Nobody seeks after God's plan of salvation on their own accord. Romans 3. Verse 10-18. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sculptor with their tongues that have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Whew. Those scriptures pretty much lay it out. Those without Christ are blind to the need for salvation. In whom the God of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4. This only changes when God begins drawing a person to himself. It's God who opens up the eyes, enlightens the minds with discernment and wisdom to the need of Jesus Christ as Savior. You're going to get persecution on this earth, in this world. I've talked past couple of days about not of this world, love not the world. I talked about that the day earlier, this morning, and the micro effect, 6-8, this morning, and this afternoon I touched upon it, 3-5 broadcast on my own website, and then tonight I'm talking about it right now. Not as much detail as I did earlier. But it's God who opens up the eyes, enlightens minds to the needs of Jesus Christ. A person cannot repent or change the mind without sin and needs for salvation is what that means. Repenting, confessing his sins, repenting, changing the mind about sin and need for salvation. This unless God grants repentance. Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So, if you understand God's plan for salvation, you recognize your need for it, feel compelled to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then believe that you are saved. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, Trust Him alone for salvation. Believe that sacrifice is full payment for your sins. Then you're one of the elect. I got more to talk about that, but I got 15 minutes to go. And this tonight I've been going at this now for almost 6.5 hours today. Yeah, buddy. But I got some other things to talk about. One of the major events to occur before the return of Jesus Christ as conquering king and the appearance of an individual called the Antichrist. He's the first seal. Hadn't happened yet. The holy city is in Jerusalem, not America. We're not even in the Bible. We're not even the daughter of Babylon. This one Nathan Leal and Carl Jessup and all these people, they're off track, way gone. We're not even in the first seal yet. They're talking about in the Netherlands, some red river or some red stream. It's got a little hair on there. They say, oh, they got these YouTube videos out there saying that, oh, this is the Red Sea. This is the red blood in the sea. Well, it's really algae and or it's iron ore or something another. But it still serves as a possibility of we're in the end times. That's the biggest load of pathetic nonsense ever heard in my life. When God does the tribulations and judgment, you won't have to see it on the YouTube somewhere in Texas or somewhere in, I don't know, some flaming or falling hailstones out of Texas as big as baseballs in one little place, or some river in Netherlands that's red. Well, heck, you know, if you want a green river, go up to Chicago during St. Patrick's Day. You can see yourself a green river. There you go. Or dead fish or dead birds and dead cows and all this stuff is nonsense. When the tribulations come down, you're going to know it. Because before that happens, in the second seal, 4 billion plus people will have been dead. They will have died, been killed in the Third World War, which is the second seal. And to my knowledge, 4 to 6 billion people haven't died yet in one war. Has that happened in one war? No, it hadn't. Where's the Antichrist? Nobody can tell you because he's not here yet. It's not Obama, and we're not Babylon. It's impossible, according to Scripture. We're still waiting for the Antichrist. The false prophet is the lead way. The false prophet, a little headway on it, Sananda Emmanuel, a fallen angel. Sananda Emmanuel is also named Yeshua. That's why these Hebrew roots movement people are trying to get you to say, well, it's Yeshua and Mashish, I don't know, whatever it is. Can't pronounce the darn thing. Don't have to. Jesus Christ is not Yeshua by no stretch of imagination. As a matter of fact, if you do the research right now, in the next 15 minutes, try about the next 5 minutes. You put down Sananda, S-A-N-A-N-D-A, Sananda Emmanuel. Link it up to Ascended Masters. There you go. Then step number two, link up Sananda Emmanuel, or just Sananda. Do a plus sign. There you go. And you put Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A, and you see what you get. They're admitting, he's admitting that he is Yeshua. He's called himself Jesus. And there shall come false prophets, and those who claim to be Christ and are not. And there you go. He is going to be the false prophet. Your Antichrist will have the generic name of what's now called Maitreya, Ascended Master. The host body, I don't know who it's going to be yet. Sinclair, I don't know. One of the tribe of Dan, one of the bloodline from the Assyrians, I don't know, who knows. Tribe of Dan is copulated with fallen angels, who knows. Coming out of the Merovingian bloodline, though. That will be the body that Satan will take control of at the abomination of desolation. Well, we are close to the first trumpet, the first seal. We're close to it. But that's the major event that's going to occur. And I would suspect, my opinion is here at this point, is that disclosure, the fallen angels, excuse me, disclosure of these so-called aliens, which is a lie, been set up since 1897, this UFO hoax, or fallen angels, who they really are, and demons, that we're aliens, we're here to protect and defend, and white hats and all these, this old nonsense, appear to prosperity, and the Sarah, whatever they're going to throw at you. We defeat the Illuminati, which is a lie. We've arrested this, that, and the other, which is no one to arrest anybody, because they're all part of secret society members. They've all taken a blood oath against mankind. And Jesus Christ is the only one at the Battle of Armageddon, 7 years after the peace covenant has been signed, that's going to take us out of this. The only one. Nobody else. No Ron Paul. No, he's a Rosicrucian anyway. Nobody. Rubio. It don't matter who it is. Nobody. No human being. Doesn't matter who it is. Because all are sinners. We all are. Except Jesus Christ gives us salvation through him alone. Everybody else is a fraud. They ignore Jesus Christ, they ignore the King James Bible, which irrefutably is the only true word of God on the face of this planet. It's proven over and over and over. Luke 11:50, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundations of the world may be required of this generation. There's martyrs coming. Be ready for it. Russians are here. The Chinese are here. You've got 257 foreign trade zones in America by our treacherous Congress and presidents and all these others. Same thing for Europe. But here in America, you've got... They're all bloodline. Oh, goodness. Secret society members are all liars. Seek through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's it. But many view this Antichrist, the image, the mark of the beast, and the beast alliance of nations, as things that would be easily recognizable. The basis of it is the United Nations. They've tried to bring it together, but they failed every time. Supposed to be the New World Order by 1999. That's another story. But this Antichrist, the reality is that his religious system of government will look like the greatest, most wonderful religions, politically, economically, the world's ever seen. Come everybody together. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. Free, open religion. Homosexual marriage. Euthanasia for your children. I discussed that today already in my broadcast earlier, how they're sneaking up on you about euthanizing your children and letting the children decide for themselves. Absolutely. Organs is kicking off on it. Yeah, buddy, they are. Watch them. And Belgium, euthanizing children at their request, the children's request. I want to die, Daddy. Okay, son, if you want to. Yeah. This is part of the Antichrist system. Look up Belgium. Euthanasian law being pushed. This is how they do it. It's how the Antichrist works. The Vatican will crash itself as planned all along. That will ring in the New Age movement, which is the ancient myth of religions that goes back to Nimrod. It's been planned all along. That's why you have three Jesuits as popes. Francis, Nicholas, and Orsini. White, black, and gray pope, three of them. And when World War III starts, second seal, the red pope is going to come out of his woodwork. Like a cockroach, and they're going to come out and start their nasty stuff. But Jesus Christ wins. Jesus Christ won at the cross of Calvary. It is finished. He died, rose again. He's coming back. They lose. Game over. What we're doing now is counting the casualties of those who are heading to hell to try to spread the gospel so those may be saved and become one of the elect. And you know, one of my chat members says, most of the people deny the fallen angels are the sons of God in Genesis, also support this fake Israel, Anglo-Israelism, or Anglo-whatever it is, British Israel, white man's election, or something or another. Seems to be turning up like your Herbert Armstrongs and Arnold Murray's and all these others, these cult groups, Krishna Danti and so forth. Pray for them, because some of them will be coming out when the Spirit of God moves. They'd be leaving there. Pray for them to get out of there. The leader of this alliance of nations, the rise of the Holy Roman Empire, will appear as a dynamic and charismatic individual. He'll lead his alliances of nations and the world into a time of unparalleled peace and prosperity. I don't know for sure, but they might be cooking up a fake prosperity period and a fake world war coming up. I don't know. Something sneaky is coming up to give us a chaotic situation that will justify the fallen angels to come in on disclosure. They need some dialectic. A fake prosperity period, this Nasara garbage or something, or Iraqi dinar is supposed to revalue, or they'll, I don't know, oh, by the way, in November, is it 13th or 11th or 13th or somewhere there, they've got some kind of exercise nationwide going on. They could pull some kind of nasty this month or next month. It really doesn't matter what they do. It really doesn't matter. Because they fail. Whatever it is they do, God's already won at the cross of Calvary. And the prophecy has been set, and there's nothing mankind can do to stop it once it begins. Nothing. Because mankind does not have the wisdom nor the discernment to outthink the mind of God, much less the masters of the world, Satan and the fallen angels. Romans 3:23. For all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It would do for America to be the fake Babylon. If we go down financially, that would mean Babylon has fallen, which would be a lie. But then again, who comes after that? Jesus does. So if we are the fake Babylon and we fall and the Vatican falls, that would bring on disclosure. And that would be the first seal. And the Antichrist would be the false prophet, the false prophet would be Sananda Manuel, fallen angel, Yeshua, who would then ring in and bring in the Antichrist, Maitreya. That would be an interesting scenario. But one thing for sure, once this tribulation begins, World War III starts, the second seal, the peace covenant between Israel and the Antichrist is confirmed, that begins the first seal. 7 years from that date will be the second coming of Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ. And the real Hebrew Israelites will take over Jerusalem, as they should, with the real Hebrew language. The Star of David is nothing more than a cult symbol for blood sacrifice. The real Israelite, the Israelite symbol, is a menorah, the candlesticks, not the Star of David. Star of David is a cult. Hitler thrust upon the Jews in 1940s. It's the crest of Solomon. It's used before then, witchcraft. That's the Star of David. Don't let Hagee fool you. Family, we're coming to the end of the program, and Jesus said that the deception surrounding the Antichrist will be so clever that only the elect of God will recognize him and understand the true intent and purposes. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, seeing the beast that was a thing and is not and yet now is. Revelation 17 verse 8. And all others on earth are going to be deceived into thinking that this person is indeed a savior of humanity. So it's extremely important for you all to be able to recognize some of the characteristics and powers that this person may exhibit as he imposes his will on the earth. Now what I'm going to do, I see it now coming, is I'm going to do part two tomorrow. And we'll talk about the Antichrist tomorrow in detail. Verse by verse. we'll find out who this Antichrist is. Not who the person is, but how to identify them when it comes time. Then God will protect Israel. But the Khazars will be taken out. The Ashkenazi will be taken out. 144,000 Jews will appear. The two witnesses will come up at the abomination of desolation. That'll get Israel's attention. Oh, the second seal will get the entire world's attention, I'd say. America, we got judgment coming down on us. Man, we're not even in the Bible. We're like a vapor in the wind. So is England. Poof, gone. He'll protect his true people. Family going to complete right now, about time to go. And tomorrow, we'll talk about the Antichrist. Y'all. Yep. Jesus Christ is coming back. We say down home, y'all be ready now here. Because it's going to get a little nasty along the way. But these are not bad times. The bad times are really coming. These are just preparation. Just preparation. God's going to eliminate the squatters out of Israel. But the real language, the real Israelites, have become the true seat. And Jesus Christ will land there. And won't be no silly UFO neither. So know one thing, that despite all that's coming, there's going to come a day when all this is going to go away. That day is in heaven. On the earth, the 1,000-year millennium will reign. After the 1,000 years, that's when Satan will be released. At the end of the 1,000 years, it's in the scripture. And that will be the real Gog and Magog war, as he will be allowed to tempt the nations once more. And that'll be like Armageddon. He'll lose that one too. So family, know that there's going to come a day. Right now, we're to spread the gospel, even to Masons, to spread them, especially to them. Especially to ourselves, our families, and to keep us strong. Prayer and fasting. Because there's coming a day. Family, y'all have a great night. And tomorrow, 6 to 8, here we go. Tomorrow afternoon, 3 to 5, WatchmanChronicles.com. 6 to 8 in the morning, again, TheMicroEffect.com is where I'll be. Then, of course, the afternoon, I'll say again, 3 to 5. P.M. WatchmanChronicles.com. Bible study tomorrow night. WatchmanChronicles.com. On Friday, it's two shows. No Bible study. So Friday night. As normal. Y'all go to my website, WatchmanChronicles.com, and check out the research I've got there. I am building up now to get a FM station put in. So let y'all know that. My sponsor is Lisa K. Candles. And to let y'all know that we are being played up in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania by highpointradio.net. John Herkler. And we appreciate that. So y'all have a great night. And be knowing that that day is coming.
To this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab, the many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope in the promise that he brings. There will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you away.
Great night. God bless. And it's going to start the 24-hour loop as soon as I'm finished here. So y'all have a great night. God bless you. We'll see y'all tomorrow.